Isaiah 12 today. You know, the board a couple of months ago, we made the conscious decision to go beyond where we've been in terms of missions giving and to stretch ourselves further. And with that came this idea of having the videos from our missionaries so that you could see that the money you give is going to a good place. And we've got to do more of this, and we're going to continue to be conscious about missions. Don is in contact with our missionaries more than we've ever been before, and we're going to increase that. And you know, we've got to go beyond and outside of ourselves while we take care of ourselves. The sign of a healthy church is a church that's outside of its borders. So that's what we do. Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. If you would stand, very short stand today. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Father, we thank you for the salvation that Jesus won for us. We thank you that you loved us enough to send him. Now help us to understand what it is he brought us. In Jesus' name. You know, Denise sent me a link this week, and somebody did research and did a study, and I don't know how they did it. I don't know what their test group was, but they came back with the results that said that messages that were put together Saturday night between 11 p.m. and 2 a.m., and even messages that were completely revamped and rewritten on Sunday morning were the best. And the implication was is that the best messages were those that were just, I don't know, one might say simply guided by the Spirit and no research and no in-depth study on things were the best. And in one sense, surely the Holy Spirit leading and guiding is absolutely essential. No message could be good without it. On the other hand, I wonder if a message that is not researched and not studied and not explored, if that's not what people want, what do we really want? I don't think that's what you want, hopefully not. If you're not getting what you need, then let me know. Let me know, and we can look at different types of messages. But this week, I'm continuing where I've been in a place that intrigues me, and hopefully does you, is simply looking at things back in the Hebrew that we miss and don't understand. And this verse in Isaiah is one of those, and this being, of course, still the Easter season, the week after season, the word salvation. What did Jesus bring us? Well, last week we talked about Jesus. The most important thing he had to say to his disciples when they were all gathered together was, peace be with you. That's shalom we talked about. Shalom. What does shalom mean? Shalom is a Hebrew word. We don't know, but that peace encompassed so many things. It was a totality of good health, mind, body, spirit, safety, security. It was all those things. And it was so important to Jesus that he said it a second time. It's important for us to understand that peace is not an absence of war. It's completeness, soundness, welfare, safety, health, prosperity, quiet, tranquility, and contentment. And hopefully we have in Christ that kind of peace. It's not to say that the world is not warring around us. It is. But Jesus brings us an all-inclusive peace. We know all-inclusive vacations, right? Everything's paid for. You get there and you go to get something to eat and it's free. And you go get something to drink and it's free. And you go to use the pool and it's free. It's all included. That's the kind of peace Jesus brought us. The part for us Christians to understand is that his peace needs nothing added. So if you need it to have peace, he provided it. That's important because on a cruise ship, you may give me everything you provide, but everything you provide may not be all I need. Jesus brings an all-inclusive peace, unlike the peace that the world offers. And Jesus wanted us to know that, and he repeated that. We are in Christ means more than just we're destined for heaven. As if being destined for heaven is not enough. It is enough. But being in Christ includes salvation. Now, the Hebrew scripture, the Old Testament, you will not go to the Old Testament in the Hebrew and find salvation. You will find the word yasa, Y-A-S-A. And that word, Hebrew word, means salvation. But it's not just salvation. If you had a need and I came to your door and I provided the need, you might see that as a salvation deliverance kind of thing. If you were in trouble and somebody came along and bailed you out or helped you out, that would be kind of a salvation kind of thing. But this yasa is a word that is limited to God alone. That word yasa means that God is our Savior. He is the one and only one who can bring that type of deliverance. And so the Hebrew yasa is the root word of another word meaning salvation. It is the word Yeshua. Yeshua also means salvation brought by God alone. And so I looked up Old Testament scriptures that had Yeshua, salvation. And I found some very, very comforting verses. Exodus 15:2. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. This is Exodus. This is what was sung after the people had been taken from 400 years of bondage. They went through the plagues. They went through the Passover with the blood on the door. The death angel came by. Egypt kicked them out. And then Pharaoh says, no, you know what? Let's go get them back. And he meets them at the sea. And now Israel has seen God deliver them from the army of Egypt, and he has destroyed it. After 400 years of slavery, God stepped in, and he became their salvation. But it leads to a question in my mind: what was their salvation before? Did they have salvation? What did they trust in before God? Whatever it was that they trusted in, God replaced it with this. The Lord is my strength. He's become my salvation. And there's a part in here, when God is your salvation, then he is your God, and he deserves the praise. there's this theme that keeps working its way into my messages and into my studies, and that is the theme of praise, of worship. Your God, my God, saved us, and we had best worship him. He is God. He is the I Am. What does that mean? He can say, I am salvation. Psalm 18:2. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. What great words to express the rock solid foundation of God. He is rock and fortress and deliverer. He's refuge, he's shield, horn of my salvation and my stronghold. There is not a weak, wimpy word in that. And what is the horn of my salvation? Well, in the Old Testament, on the altar were what they called the horns of the altar. And if you ran into the tabernacle and you held on to that altar, nothing could be done to you. It was sanctuary. So if you can imagine what is being described is when you have a need and the things are coming apart and you need a place to hide, a place of salvation, a place of refuge, the place is where God dwelled. And they would go into that place where God dwelled and they would hold on for dear life. That's the rock solid God we have. And I thought this morning about this as they're thinking, my fortress. If you're desperate, maybe like the army is encamped around you in some way, the pressure's on you. But God is our fortress. He is the walls too high to scale. He is the walls too thick to breach. He is the gate that won't burn and can't be rammed through. And the enemy is on the outside of this camp, and you're in this rock fortress. And the enemy at night is yelling and screaming and playing music and making things loud and lighting fires so that there's light at night. And you're in your room in this fortress. They're trying to keep you awake and make you afraid. And then you realize they can't get in. All they can do is make a lot of noise and try to keep you awake, but they can't get in. And it's getting louder and it's getting brighter, but they still can't get in. And they're threatening you and saying bad things about your family, but they can't get in. And eventually, you realize, I'm in the rock fortress, and they can't get in. And you fall asleep. That's what our God is saying, I'm your fortress. People don't have the kind of fortress unless they have the salvation. Our friends, our neighbors, the people of the world, not only do they not have the peace that Christ provides, but they don't have a fortress, a salvation. And so they look to things like drugs and alcohol. They look to things like sex and any kind of other abuse that you can do. And what happens with people that are addicted to something, particularly substances against the body, they go into a kind of safe place for a while. If a heroin addict injects himself and he gets a high, you watch them and they just kind of go inward. and they're convinced that they're in a safe place. They feel good, the rushing through the veins, the euphoria, all those things that they say that they experience in this moment. And they think that they're in a safe place. They think they're hidden from us, when in reality, they're sitting on the chair in front of us and we see them for what they are. They think they're in a safe place. Their safe place is a lie. It's a deception. And we see them. That's not the safe place we have in Christ. We have a sure safe place. It's not a deception. 1 Chronicles 16:23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim his salvation day after day. If you went to the Hebrew and read these verses, you would find the word Yeshua for salvation. You wouldn't read salvation. And again, it's the idea. You know what, folks? We're saved folks. We're saved people. I don't care if your voice is no better than mine. We better sing. We better praise. We really have to proclaim his salvation to those outside day by day. We have to do that. We have to declare that our God is salvation. We're to tell the lost addict who thinks he's hiding, that he's secure, that he's not. We don't condemn them. We tell them that they're in a vulnerable place, but we know where they can go. We tell them, we have to tell them, you're living in a house of cards, and God has a fortress for you. Could there be any better message for us to give the world than the thing you seek the most, the thing you try substance abuse or some other abuse to find? We know where it's at. It's called Yeshua, salvation. And we as a church need to recognize that when the world tells us it has the answer, we need to respond, you have failed, and there is only one rock. Try the true and lasting salvation. Somehow that message has fallen on deaf ears and it's no longer seen as value in the world. And yet we need to speak it and speak it clearly over and over again. And for those who might be growing tired of the battle, whatever life is bringing you, Psalm 62:1 says, truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Our salvation has a connection to rest. Our salvation has a connection to the rest of our souls. So not only do I have a rock fortress to hide in, I have a rock fortress to rest in. I can fall asleep while the enemy is making noises. And so this word Yasa is the, which means salvation from God alone, is the root word for Yeshua, which means salvation, deliverance, welfare, prosperity, and victory from God alone. This Yeshua is also a proper noun, proper name. From this word, we get the English translation, Joshua. Now, Joshua was Moses' second. He was the one who led Israel into the promised land, where Moses had led the people out of bondage. So from the Hebrew word Yeshua, we get our English translation, Joshua. The Greek translation of Yeshua leads to the name Jesus. So, Yeshua, salvation from God, Hebrew. Greek, salvation from God, Jesus. And if you're confused at all, it's kind of like Michael is English, but in Spanish, it's Miguel. Now, Daniel is Danielle. That's a little too feminine. It's Danielle in Spanish and Daniel in Hebrew. So it's very close, but other things like Michael Miguel are different. So before we go on, I want to give the question of the day. What name did the disciples never use with Jesus? When the disciples went to Jesus, they said things like Messiah. They said things, Master, Lord. Rabbi. They would have said that. What name did they never use with the Lord? They never said Jesus. They would have said Yeshua. And when Paul was talking on Mars Hill, like we talked about last week, he never said Jesus either. He said Jesus, the Greek. Jesus is our translation of Yeshua. So, from Yasa, Yeshua, Isos, Jesus, all meaning salvation. God is our salvation. I say that simply because we get used to, I think this is a major point. We get used to thinking in English. Jesus, you could be a baseball player and be named Jesus. And we get very attached to the name Jesus, but it's in the Hebrew that the name Yeshua means God is salvation. Not so much in the English. And what's important to me is we say things like Jesus is my Savior, and He is. But I think it's a whole different thing to say Jesus is salvation. You see, He may be your salvation, but He's not my salvation. An unbeliever would say. And to that our response is, no, you misunderstand. Jesus is salvation. Yeshua is salvation. Jesus is salvation. He may not be your salvation, but He is salvation. And God, I am. Well, I'm an atheist. I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter. I am. Well, He's not my God. It doesn't matter. He still is. See, to that atheist who says, I don't believe in God, that doesn't change God. To the Muslim who doesn't believe that Jesus is the Savior, it doesn't change the fact that He is salvation. The Word is deeper than just He is mine. He is. And so when we have conversation and we're wrestling with these things in our hearts, and all roads lead to nirvana. No, I'm sorry. The word called Yeshua, the road called Yeshua is salvation. That makes the rest not. If He is a Savior, then there is the possibility of being another one. But if He is salvation, there is none other. Acts 14:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. We either believe that or we don't. There is no middle ground for that. Yeshua is salvation. He is the name given under heaven by which we must be saved. Jesus was not just a good man, one of many prophets. He was not. He was Yeshua. He was salvation or not. And if he is salvation, there is none other. And he is the salvation that comes from God alone. He is the rock-solid fortress. But he doesn't just bring a salvation. He brings the only salvation. In the New Testament, salvation is specifically used for the reference of the great deliverance from the guilt and the pollution of sin. He is the one. Of course, we don't see Yeshua in the New Testament because the New Testament was written in Greek. And so if you were to do a translation from our New Testament and go back into the Greek, you're going to see the word Jesus. The next question is, can you go from our New Testament Jesus back into the Hebrew? And the answer is, of course not. The Old Testament was Jewish. The New Testament is not. There is no Hebrew New Testament except some later translation for a completed Jew. And the thing about it is that Jesus, John says, is the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And nothing was created without that Word. And that same Word, the Creator, is the Savior, the same one. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with the inexpressible and glorious joy. I tried to argue on Wednesday night this verse. Is that Peter saw Jesus, but it still required faith. You and I don't see Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, in the natural. It requires faith. But by faith, he is our salvation. By faith, we receive him. And so I ask the question of you, and I ask the question of myself. What was our salvation before we trusted in Yeshua? What peace did we depend on? And the bigger question is that still our peace or our salvation? You see, if you're a rich man and you come to Christ and you've trusted in your money, then you're liable to still trust in your money after you receive the only salvation that comes from God. Therefore, you're like that drug addict who thinks that they're in a fortress, but it's a house of cards. And if you're trusting in your wisdom, well, know that wisdom is limited, and I'm all for us having wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. But I can't trust in that, because that's not the salvation that is brought by God. If good looks and fame and fortune are our salvation, we're living in a house of cards. There is a salvation for our soul. It's Yasa, Yeshua, Jesus, salvation. 2 Kings 18:21 says, "Look, I know you are depending on Egypt, that splintered reed of a staff which pierces the hand of anyone who leans on it, such as Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to all who depend on him." God is saying to his people, Israel, listen, you're depending on Egypt. You're depending on them to bail you out. You're depending on them to fight against me. Are you kidding me? You're depending on money? You're depending on your skills? You're depending on your knowledge? Are you kidding me? What that is that you're leaning, you know, instead of leaning on a cane, you're leaning on a bamboo stick, a reed that's splintered. And when you push down on that, that thing is going to come right through your hand, splinters sticking out the backside of your hand. The things we depend upon, they're nothing but a splintered reed. They're going to pierce us. They're going to make us bleed. They're going to make us suffer. And Egypt made the people of Israel suffer. So is our wisdom and our knowledge and our money and even our rules. Yeshua is the rock-solid salvation. And the thing about this salvation, we don't just see it end on Easter morning, resurrection morning. We don't see that salvation. It's actually not done yet. Hebrews 9:28. "So Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." If we as Christians stop on Resurrection Sunday morning, we're missing a major part of Scripture. But that's where my salvation was won, on Easter Sunday morning. That's where it was won. And Jesus is coming to bring it in its total fulfillment. He's coming to bring our salvation with him, but he's not bringing it to everyone. He's only bringing it to those who are waiting for him. Now, we would presume, well, we're Christians, so we're waiting for him. You know how many Christians have no idea that Jesus is coming again? Well, I know he's coming again, but that whole revelation thing is just like, I don't know, it's too much for me. Really? The one who is salvation is coming to bring himself to you, and that's too much for us. This waiting, I would assume, implies an active waiting. It's not just sitting there going, it's active. It's seeking. I'm seeking him. I'm seeking his presence even though he's not here. Revelation 19:1 says this, "After this I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to God." Salvation and glory and power belong to him. He is them. He is salvation. There is no other glory. There is no other power. There is no other rock fortress. There's none of those things outside of him. The I am is. And one of the things he am is salvation. You and I have ascribed to that salvation. Don't dilute it by saying there's another. Don't dilute it by the possibility that there's another way. Yeshua is salvation from God alone. Paul standing before the intellectuals in Mars Hill of Greece, and standing there, and he's arguing the scriptures with them. He's arguing and debating with them this Jesus, because they didn't know Jesus, they knew Jesus. That's the Greek. that Paul only had the Old Testament scriptures to go by. He didn't have the New Testament. They weren't written yet. So what was he declaring to them? He probably was declaring things like Jesus, your Greek word for our English Jesus, but Jesus is your translation of Yeshua. Now let me tell you about Yeshua. You see, Yeshua goes all the way back into the Old Testament scriptures, all the way back to Yasa, which says that God is salvation. And he would have brought up the scriptures that we saw today, that God is salvation. And brought it forward and said, your word, Jesus, means salvation. God is salvation. And this Jesus, this Jesus I'm talking about, he's not just some misfit, not some guy who was born just became this itinerant preacher. He's connected all the way back to the beginning, to the Creator. And he is the only salvation. Now I'm putting words in Paul's mouth, but this would have been the type of argument that Paul would have had. The very thing that we don't understand. Why? Because he's my Jesus. And there is no connection to Yasa. But as we do begin to study and we do look into the words and we do take out these concordances and we do let other people guide us in these teachings, then we see the connections. And I believe in the revelation of the Holy Spirit, I absolutely do. But for those who say, I only trust in the revelation of the Holy Spirit and not some study, I would ask the question, when was the last time you had any significant revelation? Is it significant that Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, Yasa is the only salvation? I think it's significant. It's significant, not that we didn't know it, but it's significant that now we know the connection. Your God is a fortress. The enemy may scream and yell and try and keep you low, but our soul finds rest. Father, we thank you that our soul finds rest in you. And there is a reality that the enemy is screaming and shouting, and they keep us up at night, and they worry us and make us fear. But God, in you, is not a house of cards, but a rock fortress. And you are our salvation, God. Life wouldn't be easy.